hemorrhoids can be a real pain in the butt, causing anal itching and burning and irritation. Get fast relief with all-natural, doctor-developed and tested Anacool. Buy Anacool, A-N-A-C-O-O-L, on Amazon right now and save 15% with code WABC2024.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you, must
33 minutes after the hour, the great Bing Crosby singing the prototypical St. Patrick's Day song, Danny Boy. I can't think, maybe I'm reinforcing a couple of stereotypes here, but I am married to an O'Brien, so I feel like it's my my privilege to do so. I can't think of anything that better exemplifies St. Patrick's Day in the United States. I don't know what it's like in Europe or Ireland or the UK, but in the United States, I can't think of anything that better typifies the St. Patrick's Day tradition than talking with a bartender, specifically of the Irish variety. And it just so happens that one of my bartenders has come out with a new book called 30 Years Behind Bars, A New York City Bartender's Tales. I'm very, very pleased to welcome in studio Liam Keane. Liam, it's great to see you.
Oh, God, Frank, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being had. And we're going to talk with your with your co-author, Eddie Carney, in just a minute. First, you know, you've been bartending a while, obviously, as you, as you chronicle in this book, 30 years. Why write a book? You could have written a book when you were doing this for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Why now? What did you want to say?
Well, you know, I was coming to the end of my bartending career. I don't have a 401k or a pension. And I said, you know what? What am I going to do? Let's write about my life story and hopefully take it from there and maybe make a couple shekels out of it.
Yeah, well, and it's a terrific book. It's available on Amazon if people want to check it out. 30 Years Behind Bars, but and we're going to talk with Eddie in just a second. Talk to me about the genesis of your bartending career. You meet a lot of different people. Some of them fall into bartending. Some of them aspire to be a bartender. What was it like for you? How'd you get into it?
Actually, by accident. I was in Rockaway Beach. I was sitting at my local pub. We called it the Magnet, Bell Harbor Tavern, and one of the bartenders did not show up. And the owner asked me to jump behind the bar, and I didn't know how to bartend. But we were selling $2 of Budweiser. It was pretty easy. Fell into it, made some money, and I'm like, this is great. I had a lot of fun, and I'm all about. I get to laugh. I get to joke. We just have a good time. Everyone's getting a little buzzed. And that's it. And I said, you know what? I'd love this. And
I've been in some bars where you wouldn't want to order a drink that don't have the names of all the ingredients listed in the drink. Oh. I've been into other bars where it looks like the bartenders are performing surgery. Right? They have a team of assistants. They have jiggers and there's smoke and there's
never use a jigger.
So I'm going to ask you about that. What makes, in your view, Liam, a good bartender? It's about them a lot more than just knowing how to make the drinks, right?
Exactly. And it's I think making the drinks is pretty easy. You know, once you make it, you always remember it. It's just the personality, how you get along with customers. Like I said, I treat everybody the same. Like I always say, tell people to leave, check your titles at the door along with your coat. I don't care if you're the president of the United States or you're mopping floors, you know, in some school, whatever. I treat them the same. and I get personal. I like to talk to people, get to know people, like especially knowing in New York, you get to meet a lot of foreigners and people all around the world, which I just find fascinating. Where are you from? What are you doing here? I just have a good time meeting new people.
You have a lot of great stories in this book, including including servicing these seven women regulars that would come into this bar that you would bartend at a lot.
Didn't serve seven of them.
Understood. But they would come in as a pack of seven.
Yes.
What when you're bartending, what percentage would you say of your clientele are folks that are regulars, people that you see repeatedly, and how many are strangers walking right off the street?
Well, the regulars to me, they come in like once, twice a week. You can just tell when someone walks in the place, you've never seen them before. A lot of times when they order, they have an accent. Someone from different, it could be from the South, it could be from Europe, whatever. But my regular customers, they always sit at my end of the bar. We have a good time. How's your day? And how are the kids? How's your wife? How's your husband? And then you just know them. They're like friends of yours, and they're a lot of fun to serve and talk to.
One of the things that I've heard over the years about relationships, about courtship, is how the idea of meeting someone, meeting a stranger at a bar, offering to buy the stranger a drink, that's now kind of fallen by the wayside. Now, I've heard this from a lot of guys, a lot of single guys that say that now if you try to approach a woman that you think is attractive at the bar, they almost, get it, they think you're a creep because you're not vetted. You're not doing that. My question, you're welcome to comment on that, but my question also is how bartending has changed over the years from when you started more than three decades ago to now. How different of a profession is it, if at all?
Well, like I said before, the old-fashioned bartenders, we didn't use jiggers. But we get to know the customers, have a good time with them. A lot of times I go to these little bars around here. The young kids, they're using jiggers. They think they're mixologists. They think there's smoke going everywhere. Just different ways of – different fruits – different fruit, and they're not personal. They're there. They make the money. They don't talk to customers. I like the old-fashioned guys. I like the old men bartenders that have been around for a long time. They get to know you, and they're very personal. So.
You got a lot of great stories in here, and I want to get to as many as we can in a short amount of time. And I want to talk to Eddie as well.
Yes, bring him in.
But first, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. I know you've bartended many a St. Patrick's Day over the years, particularly being of Irish descent. What's it like bartending on St. Patrick's Day versus the other 364 days a year?
It's blood money. It is. It really. I mean, we make a lot of money. It is very, high demanding. St. Patrick's Day, it's great to be a fireman. All the firemen would come in, and all the girls were flocking all over them, and they're wearing their hats. And I always got jealous of the firemen.
I bet.
Forget the bartenders, because I had an apartment above the bar I worked in, a place called Jimmy Walker's on 55th and 2nd Avenue. They met the old mayor. I had clean shirts, and upstairs I would go up and take a shower on my breaks. Put on a new, come in, you just soak with Guinness, you soak with Jameson, you just reek at the end of the night, and like I said, it's blood money. And as you get older, it's not fun anymore. The money's great, but it was a pain.
So your bartending days are over?
For right now, I got a little health issues. Hope to get through it, but right now, I'm on hiatus.
Well, so let me bring in Eddie Carney. We're talking with the authors of 30 Years Behind Bars, a New York City bartender's tales. Liam Keene is in studio. Eddie Carney joining us as well. Eddie, tell me how you and Liam met initially and what it is about his story that you felt was so worthy of being chronicled in a book.
Yeah, hi, Frank. Yeah, I met Liam in a bar. He was not bartending. He was a customer. I just went down to watch the Mets lose another game, and he was sitting there, and we got chatting. He showed me a couple of his bar tricks. He has a telepathy trick, which is awesome. But then he started telling me these tales, and you know, I said, "Oh my goodness!" And he said, "Yeah, I'm going to write a book." But after about a year, and he told me a lot of stories, I asked him how he was getting on with the book, and he hadn't actually put anything down on paper. So I said, "All right, somebody needs to do that for you." So I did that. So I sat with Liam, and we went through all of these tales. We put them all in the order, and I basically just wrote it out for him.
I had heard a couple of these stories before, and they're even greater on the printed page. And I want to tell the audience that what you're hearing is a somewhat censored version, since this is radio. So if you want to hear the unadulterated truth, quotes and all, you've got to check out the book, 30 Years Behind Bars. Liam, let me ask you about this, and then, you know, Eddie, jump in as you like. You have an interesting story about your wife putting you in jail.
Yes.
What happened there?
We just had a baby, just bought a house on Rockville Center. It was a lot of stressful, you know, me putting a lot of hours at the bar, coming home. It just got very, very just, it was... everything's good here. Then the 1 minute's not good. And it just got really bad. And she gave me an ultimatum. If I leave, I'm going to regret it. And I left and to work on a bar and paint and clean. And our story came in. And at that time, O.J. Simpson was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some kind of gentleman that they were lifted the order of protection. And then it went in and killed the ex-wife. So their hands, Nassau County Police Department, their hands were tied with me and took me away, put me in jail for overnight.
That's got to be pretty stressful, not only in the family situation, but I can't imagine what that does professionally when you're trying to worry about making a living and things like that.
Well, that was the hard part about it. It was you come in, you get your personal life and the turmoils that were going on. And then you get to the bar and you jump behind the bar and you got to be Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Happy.
I know every radio person I know that has a family can absolutely empathize with that same situation. It's very challenging.
It is challenging.
Because, you know, the audience or the customer, they don't want to necessarily hear about your problems. They want to tell you about their problems.
Exactly.
Hey, you also, you bartended in a lot of different eras, right? Mm-hmm. The 80s in New York, for instance, were great not time. Like the 90s. The 90s were not like the 2000s.
Yeah.
Tell me about the difference between going from... you know, the mid-80s in the New York area to, say, the mid-2010s.
Okay. So the 80s were great. I was learning every day. I seem to go into work, and I'm learning new drinks. I'm meeting new people. And I was nervous. I was afraid of, like, you know, oh, my God, don't mess up. And I had this great owner, Jimmy Costello, who used to own Jimmy Walker's. I love the guy. God rest his soul. As I got into it more, getting into the 90s, I went around the corner to a place called T.G. Whitney's, and it was I was more confident, and everything was fine. I was singing behind the bar, meeting people, girls were flashing. Everything was just like fun. I couldn't wait to get to work. It was more relaxing to me, and the money was great. I'm talking about these business guys would come in with thrown cards, Amex cards, all these, you know, they want to entertain their clients and they just want to spend money and just have a good time. And I try to make sure that that's what I was doing. You know, I'm entertaining their clients, having a good time. And so from the 80s to the 90s, the money was flowing, the companies coming in, big companies were coming in. We had Madoff's. Came in, Skadden Arps, a bunch of lawyers, they would come in, and money was thrown on the bar. And it was, but as I got older and more into it, I felt more comfortable, and it was very, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Then going into the 2000s, it tightened up a little bit. The expenses accounts were kind of frozen. So they were trying to entertain their clientele, but they weren't spending the money that they used to. And they used to throw money at me like all the time. I mean, I love the old, like I said, the bartenders. And I talk about this with guys from Smith & Wesky's as I'm looking at them. All the guys used to come over to T.G. Whitney's after work. And we've talked about this and how much has changed, how they're not spending that tipping as much. So that got to the early 2000s. And then it kind of got to be like, I'm getting older. And then it got to be a little more of a hassle. I'm kind of moving slower.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was aching the next day. You know, you got to take a bath, you know, just, you know. And it just slowed me down. Money wasn't as great as the 80s and 90s. But, you know, you still did your smiling, telling jokes and making people laugh and just making the right drinks for them.
Do you prefer working for somebody in their bar, their restaurant, or ownership or being a partner in your own place?
The bartending. Just bartending.
Yeah. Really?
Because I was the owner in two places. A lot of stress, you're 24/7. You know, you get in a call at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh, the fire department just left, you know, or we just got raided, or there's a fight. There was, you know, you have to be there. Get up out of bed, drive down there. What happened? It just got very tiresome.
Got it. When your day's over, day's just beginning.
So then I went back to bartending and just bartending. I come in, entertain, and you go home.
Two stories I have to ask you about before we run out of time. Liam Keane and Eddie Carney are here. You talk about, obviously, those of us that were in New York in September of 2001 know what it was like for this city. You actually had a very, very interesting perspective September of 2001. What did you have going on?
Well, I was going through a nasty divorce, and I was trying to see my kids. You know, I did everything I can to see my kids. That's all I cared about. At that point, the towers came down. Lost a couple of friends from Rockaway, a lot of Rockaway people. It was just hard. And then I remember, there's a murder case in this book.
Mm-hmm.
That was going on. They got caught. They were taken in. I had a piece of a racehorse, and I was up in Saratoga. Heard the news, came back, was on the lam a little bit. There's a chapter in there. And I was in a whirlwind. And then all of a sudden, what flight was it? 812?
587.
Landed a couple blocks away. I was putting a Blue's Clues tape in for my son. And I was playing Play-Doh with my daughter. And we heard a big explosion in Rockaway. I went out, saw black smoke, ran to this black smoke, and the plane landed 5 blocks away. Now in Rockaway, the small grid. So 5 blocks away is very close.
Oh, yeah.
And in the same house. I was on the same grid of the block. And I just remember standing there. There was a 7-year-old kid next to me. I think we were just talking about this earlier. And about like maybe a 65-year-old lady on the other side. And I'm like looking up at God saying, what's next? What are you doing to me? Like, I got these planes coming down. I got towers going down. I'm going through a divorce. I got my manager and doorman having an affair, and they killed people. It was a really messy part of the time, and I couldn't say anything to anybody.
Hemorrhoids can be a real pain in the butt, causing anal itching and burning and irritation. Get fast relief with all-natural, doctor-developed and tested Anacool. Buy Anacool, Anacool, on Amazon right now and save 15% with code WABC2024.
Handling legal matters is stressful. So, let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25-plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.
Eddie, let me ask you, as a storyteller and as a chronicler of a lot of Liam's stories, it's interesting about this book. It kind of goes from a rather upbeat personal memoir to then a how-to guide in bartending, then a lot of kind of fun and interesting stories. Then it kind of becomes a legal thriller and a crime thriller, and it all packs quite a punch in a relatively short book. Tell me about the legal aspect of this and where – give folks a preview of where that goes in the book, Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, that was the interesting thing about it. I mean, you know, Liam started off with a fairly hedonistic career, you know. I mean, six foot three, looks like Patrick Swayze. Women are falling all over him. And then, you know, this murder happens. And all of a sudden – from a guy who really, there's no consequences to most of his decisions until that happens. And then every decision he makes has a consequence. And his life is turned upside down by that act, you know. And it was very interesting. I had to do quite a bit of research on how all of that worked, because he would tell me the stories about the grand jury and the DA and how the officers worked and things like that. So that was an education for me to put all of that together.
Liam, let me ask you about that. You're going from basically a fun-loving bartender to basically an owner worrying about payroll and keeping the lights on, then testifying before multiple grand juries dealing with ADAs. Was there anything about your bartender training that helped prepare you for that?
No, actually, not just making drinks to make people laugh, but my father and my mother – my father passed away in 98, but he gave me a lot of advice when I was a kid growing up in Cincinnati. I spent a lot of time in Cincinnati, Ohio. We spent a lot of time on the Ohio River, and I would have my father talk to me, and he'd give me some advice. Back then, I was just a teenager, 14 years old. Dad, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure.
But that came to play when I got older, and I needed, what would my dad do? So I felt his presence or his thinking. I would talk to him a lot, and that's what kind of got me through. And my mother, the cream always rises at the top.
It's a great story, a bunch of great stories in here. I do recommend the book, 30 Years Behind Bars. It's available on Amazon. Most places books are available. It's written by Liam Keane and Eddie Carney. Thank you both.
Okay, real quick, I just want to say, Eddie, you still there?
Yes, yeah, sure.
I just want to, if it wasn't for Eddie, if it wasn't for my stories and Eddie putting it all together, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Well, that's awfully nice. Thank you. And I hopefully we'll see you behind a bar, or at least on one side of a bar or another, sooner rather than later.
Let me get this straight. Bombay Sapphire straight up. I think it's a twist. I think you wanted the twist.
That's it. My martini recipe precedes me.
My God.
It's true. It's true.
How many years is that?
I'm at least a decade, right?
And
that's pretty good.
And
thank you,
come
Liam.
In and then, you didn't have to tell me what you wanted.
I'll just say the usual next time I see you.
I want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Liam Keane, Eddie Carney, 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
Hemorrhoids can be a real pain in the butt, causing anal itching and burning and irritation. Get fast relief with all-natural, doctor-developed and tested Anacool. Buy Anacool, Anacool, on Amazon right now and save 15% with code WABC2024.